Thanks, Lockie. Thanks, Winnie. Good job. Morning, everyone. How are you?
Morning.
A few people there. Morning, everyone. How are you? Oh, good. Good to see you this morning. Yeah. We kind of become a bit lazy, haven't we, in this day and age? I think COVID kind of multiplied that. And there was a husband and wife, and they were just sitting having a relaxing afternoon, and they were watching TV. And the wife's phone goes off. It's a text message. She says, "Oh, where's my phone?" Husband says, "Oh, I think it's in the kitchen." So she goes to the gets up, goes to the kitchen, gets her phone. Oh, looks at the message, and it's from her husband. "Boy, you there, dear? Bring back some chips." Some of you are contemplating that for this afternoon, aren't you? We want to continue this morning our third part of our vision series, and we've done a couple already. This is part three, and I want to finish it off next week, just talking about Grace Point's vision. And I want to just remind us about vision is about what we see. I've really been enjoying reading a manuscript of a friend of mine. Lots of you will know Matt Beckenham, who's become an author. He's written one book, and I highly recommend that already, and he's finished writing his second book, and I'm just reading he gave me the manuscript to read of that. And it's kind of like a bit of a shack story. And he's talking about kind of his first book was about the trees in the Garden of Eden, and this one's kind of following on from that, about when Adam and Eve had the fall and they left Eden, and then about Cain and Abel. And it's a really, really interesting story. And he tells a lot of the story through the eyes of what it's just called Eagle, because Adam gave names to all the animals and Eagle was his name. And so Eagle is there all the time. Eagle's sitting with wisdom and looking at what's happening. And then Eagle is sitting with the designer, God, and looking at what's happening. And Eagle's been learning about not just watching, but wisdom has been teaching Eagle about, Eagle, you weren't designed just to watch. You were designed to see. And that's a big difference, because lots of times we watch things, but we don't see what's actually happening. I've lots of those times where I go to the cupboard and I'm, have you seen this? And I'm looking, and I'm looking right at it, but I'm watching, I'm not seeing. It's there, but I'm not seeing it. Last week I talked about the 3D glasses and seeing things, and it's that kind of vision is about what we see. You'll go to places, this is where vision happens sometimes in everyday life for you. You'll go and you decide whether I go to the waterworks today, will I go to Cozy Nero today, or will I go to another pub down the road or Bix Cafe or whatever. And lots of people will go, and the first thing they'll do is look at the menu, particularly if it's outside the building. And you'll scroll through, and in your mind, there's a vision process going on. Do I like that? Do I like that? Is their schnitzels big enough? Is their steak nice? Have I been here before? What are their chips like? Is it air conditioning? Create a vision in your mind about what you see, and then you make a decision about that. If you're buying a house, or you go having a look at a house, or you're renting a house, you'll go through and you'll start to have this vision process going on. Will the lounge fit here? Will the TV fit there? We could knock this wall out. We could knock that wall out. We could paint this. We could do, oh, that's a lovely balcony. We put a garden here, do that. Vision process is going on. It's not about what you're watching. It's about what you're seeing. And that's what we want to talk about when we have vision. The vision that we have at Grace Point is not just something for us to watch. It's actually something for us to see and start to picture, what does that look like in my world? What does that look like for us as Grace Point to embellish and embody, embrace and walk out that vision? It's not just writing on some bits of paper on a wall. It's actually something that we need to step beyond that and make it 3D, real and live. The writer of Proverbs, which was probably King Solomon, says, "When there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul." In other words, what it's saying, when there's no vision, people perish. Or when there's nothing that captures your imagination, people just wander and they go astray. But the revelation that comes from God's word, or the words that God brings, is life. And when we create a picture of that, when we see that, it brings nourishment to our soul and gives us purpose for living. Our mission, is the reason of why we exist, or kind of like our bread and butter as a church, is to see people in our local community experience the love of Jesus and follow him. That's our why. That's what we're about, church. That's what our nuance is at Grace Point Christian Church, is to see people in our local community take a moment just to name some of those people in your head about who would you like to see in your local community experience the love of Jesus and follow him. Is it a neighbor? Is it someone at your local cafe? Is it someone at your playgroup? Is it someone you see walking the dog at the park? Is it someone at work? Is it a family member? Is it a friend at school or at university or a work colleague? Who is it that you see right now that you'd love to see experience the love of Jesus? And then because they've had such an encounter and experience with the love of Jesus, they go, that's someone I'd like to follow. And then take that a step further and try and see how will that person experience the love of Jesus through you. Prayer's a good start. But how tangibly will they experience the love of Jesus and start their journey to following Jesus through you? I talked about vision, and where there's no prophetic revelation from the Word of God, people wander and they go astray. So God's given us prophetic words over years as a church, and we've gathered them together and we've shaped and crafted them into some statements. And these are our vision statements that we've been sharing with you. They just come straight from kind of the prophetic words that God has given to us over time. And so each of those has kind of a something that we see, and we see a people in each of those about something that God is wanting us to see and capture. So let's just pray as we then start to look at two more of those today. Jesus, give us fresh vision today. Not just to watch stuff on a screen or watch a bunch of words, but go deeper into us that we would see the picture and the vision that you would have us to embrace and start to walk out within our life and within our church. Give us clarity about that. Give us the eyes of an eagle, just to not see just 2020 vision, but to see beyond that. That it would be so clear to us. So tune us into your frequency today. Show us your picture, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the next vision or next statement that I want to share with you about, there's two today. In our series is this, it's entitled Embracing the New and Letting Go of the Old. So we see a people who are willing to follow God into new things. They actively embrace change. We see growth happening and life being established. Now, I just want to rebuke a bunch of you who just in your mind said, I don't like change. We cast that out in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we see a people who are willing. It's a choice to embrace the new things of God. It's a choice to follow Jesus. It's a choice of the will to say, yep, I'm going to go after the kingdom. I'm going to go after the things of God. I'm going to pursue what he's on about. And it's right. We hear a lot of people say, I don't like change. Change is hard. It is hard often. And none of us really like change. That's not really the issue. The issue is, are you willing to change? And will you change? Will you pursue change? Because you cannot pursue the new things of God unless you're willing to change. You cannot pursue the new things of God unless you're willing to change. And so you can have this actively embracing change, or you can have this kind of passive or begrudgingly embracing change. I hate change, I hate change, whatever you say. It's bad for your soul and it's bad for your health to begrudgingly embrace change. Sooner or later, you're going to change. You might as well do it willingly and joyfully. That's my tip. It's not easy to change. We were at Bathurst yesterday celebrating Bathurst Baptist Church's 160 years anniversary. That's a long time for a church to be around. That was my introduction to ministry in that church. That church has a favored place for me. And I was reading through, they've done a book of 160 years, and I was reading through some of the stuff that they'd put there, and I noticed 1945 there was a pastor at the church called Alan J. Tester. I go, wow. Alan J. Tester was a pastor at Ingleburn Baptist Church when I was a boy, and he baptized me when I was about 9 years old. And I thought, wow, what a connection. I never, ever realized that. But here's a church that way back in the 1800s started and decided we will change. We will build transformation. And they've moved in three significant locations, and each significant location was a change. And I was at a point where we changed, where we moved out of town to 5-acre property in the middle of nowhere. And lots of people said, that's ridiculous. But it became the growth hub of Bathurst over the years, and the church is now smack bang in the middle of a whole residential developments, and has room for growth and a whole lot of things because they decided to change and move with what God was saying. And we are the benefits of that ministry, and you are the benefits of that ministry today because I stand here today as a pastor. That's change for the better, for good, for kingdom. So will we embrace change? Will we be actively embracing it, or passively, or begrudgingly? And so we embrace change willingly and enthusiastically. And then we see growth and life established. That's the other thing about change. Growth doesn't happen, and life doesn't happen, unless we change. You can't have growth without change, because you can't stay the same and grow at the same time. You have to be changing to be growing. Here's a few little biblical examples just to hopefully whet our appetite to think about what it means to change. You think about the story of Abraham in Genesis 12 and 1 and 2. And the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. That's us. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Did you read what God asked of Abram? Leave your native country. So leave Australia, for example, where you were born. Leave your relatives or your family, your extended family, leave them, and leave your father's family. In that day and age, family was the be-all and end-all. So leave your homeland, leave your relatives, leave your father's family, and go to another land that I will show you. What if Abraham said, don't want to change? I like it here. It's nice. Don't want to move. No, not going. I don't really want to be the father of all nations either. They can worry about themselves. He didn't say that. He left. He went. The next verses go, Abraham so got all his family together, got up, and he moved, and he started on this journey to the promised land. What about Luke in chapter 3? There's a story where Jesus is early days of interacting with his apostles, and he comes to Simon, who was Simon Peter. They'd been fishing, and Jesus had been teaching the crowds, and then after he'd finished teaching, he says to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time the nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. Again, Peter could have stopped there and said, Jesus, we've been fishing all night. I know how to fish. Don't tell me how to fish. I know fishing. We've fished all night. There's nothing there. Forget it. I'm not taking that boat out. I'm not changing. But that's not what Peter said. Peter willingly embraced change. He said, but if you say so. There's a good few words to acknowledge that change is hard with the Lord. Have that conversation with him, because it's not easy often. But then at the end of that conversation, but Lord, if you say so, I will change. Or I will embrace change. If this is what you are asking me to do, I will do it. If this is what you're asking me to go, I will go. If this is what you're asking me to say, I will say. If you're asking me to pray for this person for healing right now, I will pray. Even though it's hard and it's freaking me out, I will do it. Well, Paul tells us in Romans 12, 1 to 2, he says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And often the change process follows or goes after our thinking, when our thinking changes. Ah, this is not that hard. Or actually, I need to shift my beliefs to actually believe that this is possible, or that God has it in control, or that where God's asking me to go, it is okay. I can take that step of faith because I'm trusting God and His Word. And when we shift that thinking, then it's easy for us to shift our behavior, because behavior is an echo, remember, of belief. And then finally, what about Jesus when He prayed on the Mount of Olives in Luke chapter 22 and verse 41? Jesus walked away about a stone's throw and He knelt down and prayed, Father, if You are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want Your will to be done, not mine. There's Jesus right before His crucifixion, acknowledging this change is pretty, pretty hard. I really don't want to go through this. And I'm agonizing over it, and I'm grieving over it, and I'm everything about me is wanting to step out of it. But at the end of the day, He says, yet I want Your will to be done, not mine. And that's the thing about change in the kingdom. That's where the biggest step of faith comes for us, where it's not about our will, it's not about our comfort, it's not about our likes, it's not about our convenience, it's actually about His will. And now would be a great time to kind of consolidate that by thinking about that a little bit more.